The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com. MidwayUSA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
And welcome to a live episode on the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. Folks, it's me, Gene, your host of the Doc Talk. Let's go ahead and fire things up. And a happy Monday evening to you folks. Welcome to the TPO Doc Talk. Man, I'll tell you what, how was this last weekend? We had like this cold snap come through and then all of a sudden, boom, 50s and 60s across a lot of the Midwest out here. We're seeing higher temperatures. Guys are getting on the water right now. Guys and gals out there getting the kayaks back out. It's good to see. It's got me thinking of an early spring, but I'm sure it's going to be just like false sense of security, and we're going to get blasted at least one or two more times out here, at least in the Midwest, before things get really nice. Folks, tonight's episode, super special episode, we have none other than the man himself from the Bassmaster Kayak Series. Mr. Steve Owens is stopping in to take time to visit us on our little show here and talk about the season, the championship, life in general, and we'll get things fired up. So without further ado, let's just go ahead and bring the man in here. Here we are. Let's go ahead and bring him into the show, Mr. Steve Owens. Steve, how in the heck are you, sir?
Man, I'm doing way better than I deserve, I can tell you that.
Isn't that the truth? I love that response. Well, say, man, we can't thank you enough for taking time out of your schedule here. I know it's people think it's the off season, but for most of us that are doing this, you know, full time, there's not really an off season. It's just changing duties is all. And have you guys got a cold streak that came through there pretty bad? Has it started to warm back up again for you?
Yeah, it's like we actually hit. Earlier in the week, what is today?
Today's Monday.
Monday, okay. Yeah, it's like I'm back in my old chemical plant. We worked a swing shift, and all I knew was 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. That was my on and off days. That's all I knew.
Right?
So, yeah, but no, we got, like you said, that frigid, you know, unexpected cold front, and then actually last week, about 3 or 4 days, we got up into the 60s.
Wow. Very nice. Yeah.
And then it's back down to like 45 ish. I love 45 degree weather. And then yes. Like 95 degree weather. That's where I'm at. But most of the time I like the cold. You know?
See, I'll take the middle of the route. You know, I like 50 and above. I'm game. Let's do it. And 95. I mean, I'll take it. You know what I mean? It's like I'll do 95 because that's. I mean, I'm going to be as long as I'm in the yak and out there on the water. I'm okay. It's yeah. You stay cool out there.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome stuff, man. Yeah, it's the weather's been playing some goofiness here. And you are in. Let's see, you're right on Lake Chick. Is that right?
I am. I live about 4 miles from three different boat ramps.
So. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm about mid-lake where, like I told you, the nuclear plant is, which is where my wife works. And then Chester Frost Park is about the main access ramp on Lake Chickamauga. I'm 3 miles from it. So.
Right, right. Well, man, I wanted to start this thing off with the first thing. I wanted to give you kind of a unique perspective from somebody. You know, you and I had a chance to meet briefly at Gunnersville. I gave you my card, kind of told you I wanted to get you on the podcast there. You said, not a problem. Let me get to judging fish and then I'll talk with you. And we haven't had a chance to meet there too much, but I had also a chance to fish against you at Pickwick the year before. You were in that event. And I wanted to let you know kind of an outsider's perspective. Not a lot of shows would do this, and I thought this would be kind of cool. When the people out there, the people that I rub elbows with and that I hear the chatter, when folks heard that you were going to be taking the reins of the Bassmaster Kayak Series, dude, there was a genuine upheaval of energy and people excited about having you at the helm, brother. Knowing you, who you are, your knowledge of the kayak industry, your willingness to run an outstanding organization, dude, you really put a breath of fresh air, out in our industry out there. And from one kayak angler to a guy that's, leaving his mark on the industry, thank you very much, man. We sincerely appreciate your hard work out there.
I appreciate that. And thankfully I get to hear that quite a bit, and I never get comfortable with it, but I thank you for feeling that way, and I thank everybody else that feels that way too, because I truly do it. I grew up fishing panfish on Nickajack below Chick and whatever, and then me and Lambert got into the kayaks about he and I have been friends for about 20 years, and so we predate fishing, so then I got in the kayaks about 10 years ago, and so I didn't live it, I didn't live fishing, we fished and threw crickets and minnows and we fished with fly rods for crappie and we used to slay them. But so I didn't eat it all the time. And so like, I'm still, I don't know a lot of these anglers in the pro stuff. And so from not living it, a lot of things that mean a lot to y'all are new to me,
Sure.
So it truly does, because I do it because I love people. And by nature, I'm a pleaser. Right. So, it's hard for me to keep that in mind that, I am important to what we do. And I realize the gravity of that. And I'm thankful for it. And I'm grateful for it. But, I have to push that to the side or it'll become an obstacle for me mentally, because it's a lot of pressure. And so far, I haven't felt pressure. As I shared with you, I don't punch a clock anymore. This is what I do for a living. And
yep.
So it still hasn't really sunk in, even though we got to get on the stage last year and I feel like we blew it out of the water at the Classic. It still really hasn't sunk in, but hearing that from y'all is just, it does. It's awesome. And everything in life is heavy these days, no matter what you do, but this kind of stuff is what, it's like, I just flick the gray clouds away and then we dive right back into working and making it good. So I'm grateful for you saying that. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's absolutely the truth, man. It's, one day we're going to look back. The kayak side is, we're still so grassroots. It's still such a fledgling right now. So everything we do matters. Josh and I and Troy, we talk about that over at the All American. Josh had this statement this last year that, look, we need to be comfortable in our skin about who we are at the All American. And that's what, we changed how we did things. We didn't look at Bassmaster and Hobie as competition. You guys are the big dance. And we know that we service an area and people in a section of the country that, isn't doesn't see as much national stuff. And that's what we do. We stay over there, you know, and we get, you know, some amazing events, amazing anglers. But when we start working together, you know, we realize that this is the early stages of our sport and what we do matters. And yeah, man, you're what you guys are doing at Bassmaster and what AJ's doing at Hobie, this is all good for the sport right now. It's growing. It's getting better. And I'm excited about 2024, what it's going to look like for everybody.
Yeah, me too. And I, it's something I'm, it's a narrative that I'm glad has finally lost steam and is dead.
Yeah.
You know, people pit because it's natural. You know, you've got Cowboys and the Steelers, you know, the great Yankees and the crappy Red Sox. I mean, there's always a rival.
Right.
You don't have that. AJ and I have been really good friends before he lives 30 minutes up the road from me now. And before then, you know, he stayed my home every time he passed through town. And way before I was where we're at now, this is when I was just, you know, I was running the KBF events, but I was just doing the grassroots here, but we became buds. And that's the way we treat this. Like, we do compete for anglers. Like, I want, you know, X amount per event. And so does he. And so we are competing for anglers, but, you know, we put that to the side. And what we look at is, like, when we do scheduling, you know, we try to make sure that we keep a 2-3 week buffer for you guys.
Yeah.
And if we can't do that, then my event is in Pennsylvania and his is in, you know, Arizona or something.
Yep.
You know, we try to do that. And even then what we also look at is, like, case in point, last year, his Kentucky Lake event was here. And then on a particular date. And so I had looked at another date and I'd spoken with Guillermo Gonzalez. That's how I build a schedule. I talked to you all. I talked to probably,
yeah,
I don't know, 150 people last year trying to piece together a schedule because I want it to be what you all think. Because like I told you, you know, I don't know all of these lakes. You know, I can tell you the seating capacity for every MLB and NFL stadium there are. And, you know, like, and we're huge basketball fans. And so I know all of that. And, you know, stats memorized on the back of ball cards growing up. And but as far as lakes and stuff go, it's new to me and it's exciting. And
yeah.
And so that's what we looked at. And so when his Kentucky Lady event came up, I had a ringer in the bag. But it was going to be like the very next weekend and I couldn't do anything about it. And I changed it. I changed it. And then the next thing you know, we end up in June on Possum Kingdom and we catch a freaking 120 inches, you know?
Yeah.
You have two 200 inch limits, you know? So, you know, it just works out, man. Like, you know, you do what's right and give your best effort and organically it falls where it's supposed to. So,
well, you know,
I couldn't do this without AJ. Like, he's literally the one that convinced me to even start the Bass Nation stuff when I left Bassmaster the first time because of my job. I couldn't do it and yeah, a normal job because it required travel, you know, so much.
Right.
To do it the right way. You know, everyone did a good job hosting their own particular event. But for any series, in my opinion, to have the same cohesiveness event to event to event, one person has to run it. And
yeah,
when Bass asked about that, I couldn't do it. I had, you know, and had a really amazing job. And I thank God for my wife because I got to leave it to do, you know, to take a lot less money to do what I do now. And it's, I've had a freaking blast. February the 10th will be 1 year since I left. And it seems like I left 10 minutes ago and I've had so much fun. Like, I get to see you all when we're on the road. And this year at Bassmaster, every Thursday, I'm just going to do some sort of shindig meetup like we did at Susky and another place last year. So
that's awesome.
I'll be posting that every time. And it'll probably be a pub microbrewery because those are typically the ones that have enough space for us to be outside and
yeah,
and everything. And so that's just, you know, because, you know, we've got a good community, but we do, because of just the nature of the world, we've got a very stressed community because it's hard to travel.
Yep.
It is. It's expensive to travel. And so I want us to be able, you know, because in my registrations, as you know, I don't require you to stick around. I want you to come in, get registered, because if you're coming in from Colorado to Gunnersville,
yeah,
you may get there Thursday night at 2 a.m., Friday morning, rather, and you're getting up, you're going to spend all day. So you're going to get to the check-in. You're going to smell like dumpster. You're going to be hot. You're going to be angry. You're going to be ready.
It's like you know me, Steve.
You know, you're ready to get back to your house and get cleaned up and get rigged for the next day because nothing you tied on worked. So now you got to re-rig and then you backlash three reels. And so
you do know me.
Yeah,
where's the camera at? Good God.
You got to be related because I'm the same way. So,
exactly.
And so I just decided, you know, as so long as, you know, there's a recorded and a live stream YouTube, as long as anglers are not costing themselves by not doing those things, then I'll keep it loose like this.
Yeah.
And you know what I found by doing that after the third event? Well, it was actually the second, well, third event after the championship, Lake Murray. Neil Paul at Hartwell is one of the best, if not the best, person to work with in fishing. So the venue he gets us is a big hotel ballroom. And I walk out to the second floor and look out at the parking lot. And I stopped counting at 50. There was probably 80 people just standing outside organically at their kayaks and stuff.
Nice.
An hour into registration, you know. We only needed like 25 people out of 170 to show up, and 2/3 of the field were still inside or outside just talking.
Yeah, you know,
they got their red solo cups hiding their beer, and it was just fun. And I was like, you know what, man, that's what I would want. So we do that, so long as we get to do that, you know, it'll keep that community spirit going, you know. But you know, you do have to buckle down and realize, you know, yes, kayaking's fun, but you're in a tournament. So, so this year, and I'll do a video probably this week addressing, I just want to do just like what we're doing here. I'll do a StreamYard on the Bassmaster Facebook page, just highlighting the rules changes, a few things like that, and reiterating some things just to kind of set the narrative and the tone so that we can have such a casual season.
Yeah.
We had penalties at every tournament.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
But they all were handled, and the angler understood it, and it flew under the radar. There was no blow up like we typically have. And that was really good to have. And that comes just from good communication. So.
I agree. And, you know, and it's respect. When people respect what's going on there, they know you have a job to do. They have a job to do. And if something goes, if there's an infraction on some kind, these rules are no good if we can't enforce them. Right. And so we have to do our job with that. And that maintains integrity for the entire series, for everybody competing. You know, you'd mentioned something earlier on this, Steve, and I wanted to make sure to circle back around to this because it was super important, is when you said, yes, we're all, you know, competing for anglers. We want them in our events, and that's absolutely true, but not at the expense of the other guy. You know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, when you and Josh started talking, you know, behind the scenes, to make sure that our schedules also weren't conflicting, man, that felt so good to have, you know, that kind of the collaboration working with you guys, even with our little trail. You know, I mean, we're as national as anybody else when you consider we go from Wisconsin to Texas, you know, across the entire nation. But at the same time, you know, we knew we were, a different dance there. And so to have that collaboration working with you guys, and then AJ working with Josh, it was, that was super cool to see that all coming together like that. And I think that's what made me, you know, so excited. But you're right, man, the community, the registrations are always a cool place. You never know the stories. It's like Doc Talk from the boat world, right? I mean, it's what you get, right? You never know what sea lawyer is going to show up there or what story about this guy that, you know, they're going to share and probably shouldn't be sharing. It's pretty cool. It's always good.
Yeah, I tell you what's the truth, and every tournament series in the country should give Joe McElroy free entry fee if he'll show up, because there's going to be a story or a situation, not from his past, but that doggone practice that's going to make it to the point. I'm telling you, that is he's been one of the most refreshing people I've been able to meet in the sport, and there's that's awesome. Always something carrying on with Joe. Like, he literally drives from Alabama or wherever he's at in the world and fishes our grassroots club here on Chickamauga with us. And I show up at Chester Frost Park close to my house one evening, you know, and we had just rigged his kayak out. I work for Dugout Bait and Tackle. I've been there for about 5 years. I work remote there in Marietta, Georgia. So we had rigged his kayak and the whole nine yards. And so I meet him at Chester Frost Park, and I get there, and my man has broken a couple. He hadn't even loaded his kayak up yet, and has already broken a couple of rods. And I'm like, "You've got to be my grandfather." He has, because you know? I'm the same way. I'm 100 miles an hour, and just, you know, where we land is, by the grace of God, we're not broken, you know.
Right.
And, no, it's so fun.
We don't bounce broke like we used to, Steve.
Economics teacher, he looked like Mark McGuire, just a big 6'4", massive bodybuilder. And that's what he did is competition. And we used to wear him out like he was a wrestling coach. We'd try to wrestle him in PE or whatever. And we would always invite him out to play football with us, you know, "Oh, you big sissy," and everything. And he said, "Guys, I want to tell you something. When I was your age, I could fall out of a tree and get up. Now, if I fall out of bed, I'm calling in for a week." Bob, I hope I got to meet Bob, one of my favorite dudes. I love him to death.
Yeah.
And I've only got to meet him one time. We got to meet at lacrosse. And that's just the thing, man. You just click. You just click with certain people. And I really enjoyed meeting him. And I'm trying to get out there for, you know, an event if I can. Next year, I hope, as I build Tennessee and Georgia, you know, Sassy Dan, Daniel Davis, and my partner and all of it, as I get these series more streamlined, I can attend less of them and have someone run them. Then that means I can come out and fish Oak Bogey and stuff like that. And so
yeah,
that's my goal. I want to come out there this year for at least that. Like, I don't think me and Jamie Coza, the guy, man that owns Dugout Tackle, we really good friends, obviously. We're trying to get down to I was just fixing to say, Bob, I want to try to get to Saginaw Bay and maybe the is it Padman Wright, Texas? Is that how you say that one? The Hobie, yep. Padman Wright.
Yeah, I think so. Padman Wright.
I want to go to those two, you know, because I'm sensitive to what I fish, because, you know, I on Turning X here. So like Daniel and I, we actually fish the Bass Nation, you know, TDs fish their Bass Nation stuff. And
yeah.
And so, but I don't judge those fish any longer. I hire that out to a third party, but I still have the log in. So, I mean, you know, I got to be careful there, and that's why you'll never see me fish a Bassmaster event ever. But,
yep.
Bass Nation and our grassroots stuff, we do that, fish that. And so,
that's one of the hard pills I had to swallow. I have fished the All-American the past couple of years, have loved the series. It was one of the closest on a national level for me coming out of Colorado. You know, I could get to those events a little bit easier. But now joining in with them, you know, I had to swallow that pill that, man, I'm going to drive around. I'm going to be at every event because I'm the talking head on stage there. But
yep.
Damn it, I can't compete in these. And we're going to some great places this year. You know, it's like,
well, you know what you can do?
Jump in a Bassmaster event.
Yep. You can fish all of those if you want. And then you can, you know what? You can go out and pre-fish. And
not
fish the event. You know, that's, you know, they're like in Georgia, we have 8 events in the championship. Tennessee, we have 10 in the championship. So the way we kind of do it is Daniel judges and runs the Georgia, and then I can fish those because I'm there. Yeah. And then I judge, or I'm sorry, we hire out a judge. I don't like throwing names out because then the next thing you know, they contact. But we have a judge, a third-party judge we use, and they judge Tennessee, and Daniel can fish if he wants to. And CX Angling, who's that name? But yes.
His name is Chen Char. He's an angler out of Colorado here. He's one of our three anglers that qualified through Bass to come fish at 10 Killer.
Yeah, you guys, you've got what? Matt Arledge, Matt Flanagan, yep. And Chen Char Lee. Heck yeah, man. And
CX Angling is Chen Char Lee.
When you see me and I'm covered up with people or I'm running around, man, just dude, say hi, man, because that makes it, it does. I really enjoy that. That's part of our structure during registration is Brad Case has been a huge blessing. He helps there. My buddy Kuth Toif and then Daniel, when he can make it, they all help during registration. But you see me standing out instead of sitting down doing the board checks and stuff by design, because that's where the questions can come in. So if you're asking me a question and I'm looking up at you, everybody else in the line is stopped. So yeah. I'm over here by myself looking like I'm just, you know, chilling, you know, whatever. But it's because that's where you can come and ask your question and you and I can talk and you don't feel rushed because you're holding up the line.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, man, all y'all. And then, man, again, you know, at 10 Killer, and you'll have to tell me, hush, I got a question because I like this stuff. I love it.
Yeah, no, this is a great segue. Let's talk about 10 Killer, man. It's that's a hell of an event going on, maybe the biggest in the sport right now. So talk to us.
But with 10 Killer, you know, you all will be fishing Wednesday, Thursday, you know, on 10 Killer. And then Thursday evening, I want everybody to show back up, but whoever wants to come to the pseudo awards, if that's the right way to say it, where we just bring the 10 up, the 10 that are going to go on the Bassmaster Classic stage on Friday. You know, we'll bring you up in random order, let you all talk. And then, you know, just like last year on Chick, you know, we'll just go about our business. And then on Friday, you'll be on stage at the Cox Center, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So, or is it BOX? I can't remember.
I think it's the Cox Center, Cox Business Center.
And so, you know, on Thursday, you know, everybody come back to the check-in and everything. And I mean, and it's going to be low key, low level, because just to be above board, you know, we don't do a holdback, you know, it's 80-20 split because it's fast. Well, in the championship, it's 90-10. It was, I don't know if it'll stay that way this year, but it should. But the only thing really changing with that is last year at Bass, it was 80-20 payout, but we actually covered the tourney eggs and stripe fees also. So we put that back into the payout. Nobody else does that, but we don't do a holdback for the championship because, and maybe I'll ask your opinion. Should we do a holdback to make the championship more than the entry fees? Because the way I look at it, I would rather pay you guys more during the season events than the championship. So that's why I don't want to do a holdback. But I'm open to if people think we should do a holdback to make the championship more than entry fees, because, you know, I would rather more people have the opportunity to take home more money versus X amount at a single event in a championship.
Yeah. You know, and Josh Booth would be great. I know he's watching us from his side there, so I'll wait for his comment to come in. My opinion on this is I personally love the way you're doing it, in the fact that the only advantage to the big payout is there's a shock value, right? There's a splashdown. There's, you know, a event where the big money, you know, comes out type thing. But the fact that, and for those of you who are maybe not understanding what Steve's talking about, at each of regular season event, some tournaments will take a portion of your entry fee and hold it back for the championship event, and they put it into that pot. And what that does at the end of the season is create a bigger payout and a bigger pot for the championship. Bassmaster has made the choice not to do that. So what they're doing is they're paying you more of your money at the individual events is coming, you know, there. and then just keeping the championship for what it is there. So it's, you know, I think it's a six, half dozen the other. And it's a, I don't know if you say anything, I don't even know how many people would really notice, except the shock value, right? The big dollar payout. That's, you know, there's something to be said for that. If there's, you know, sponsors out there that, that were wanting ROI, that's where they could do it, man. Throw up some extra money into those events and help that championship, you know, come up big for sure.
Yeah. And that's the main stressor is sponsorship stuff. And something Steve Fields has done a great job with at Hobie, it is the sponsor stuff because, you know, at Bassmaster, you know, and I actually had an hour long call with the sales department today, things have a certain value, you know, so like you see a logo placement on something, you know, there's millions of people seeing it. If you want an ad in the magazine that cost X amount of dollars for half a page, you know, all of that stuff. Well, it's the same when it comes to sponsors and, you know, in the kayak world, like you mentioned, we're still very new. You know, we've been doing it probably, I guess, full fledged when Chad was the one that took it mainstream, you know, what, about 14 years now. You know, and there was a lot of stuff came that way and then some of it's gone. But, you know, now it, especially with the economy, it's so hard. So, you know, the Bassmaster product is cookie cutter though, or not necessarily cookie. I didn't mean that's a bad word. It's relative. They do. So basically they're like a sales team. You call them and say, you know, hey, I'm Gene. I've got such and such. I've got, you know, $10,000. What can I do with that? And they'll tell you, well, you can host the Get Outdoors segment of the Bassmaster. It's Classic, you know? And so now the entire Classic, that big thing where you see the rescue dog, the dogs jumping and all of that, that's yours. And so, but that, a lot of that stuff, none of us, I'll be flat honest, until today, I didn't know that stuff, you know? So that's the thing. People have to temper expectations. You see Bassmaster and you think, you know, it's billions of dollars, but it's not. I mean, and there's less people that operate it than you actually think by probably 80%. So as this goes, you know, we're learning that it's cold, cold, dark world on the sponsor side, period. Even like what I do with Dugout Bait and Tackle, I work with every major tackle representative that there is in the country for our anglers. Right. And it's hard. Even with the purchasing power that we have, it's hard to get. Product sponsorships are okay. They're still difficult to get. Money sponsorships are really hard, but not impossible. But it's not just, hey, I'm on your pro team. How much you gonna give me? You, man, look, I work my butt off, and it's still hard for me to bring the value to Jamie that he pays me for, because, you know, when you're talking, you know, if you sell a Spro rock crawler that costs $12, he's making $3 on it.
Right.
So, I mean,
right.
If he gives you $4,000 worth of product as a kayaker, how many crankbaits you got to sell to pay that man back to break even? So
no kidding.
A lot of it just comes because you care about the people on your team. And that's where, you know, something I beat to death in house is, you know, your tourney X finishes are key to this sport because it's so easy to screenshot your fish. You know, I like our Bass Nation Sniper Marine is our big bass sponsor.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
It's so easy for me to screenshot the picture off Attorney X, go on Polish that I pay $20 a year on my phone. Bam, bam, bam. I've created Gene caught, you know, a 24 3/4 inch fish, you know, on Broken Bow. And here it is. He won $780 for it. I can do that in 3 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And that carries, you know, the thousands of people get to see that. And so that's why I tell everybody on our team, when you finish 14th, screenshot, you know, 5 or 6 places with your stringer, and then throw a logo on it or something and tag somebody in it. And because, you know, the return we can give is really small as a kayak angler, but that's okay, right? Because we're still giving 100%. You know, I tell with the people that I partner with, our dugout anglers, with what you do by helping our anglers get product and potentially paychecks, is you get to market Adam Riser, that you are supporting him. So you buy brand loyalty, right? And yeah, you're marketing that to 100% of the kayak community. If you don't do that, then you're not getting the kayak community engaged, and they're exactly listening. But it, and the people say, well, they don't give a damn about kayakers. They do. But just like you working your 9 to 5, their heads are down and busy because they can't look up or they'll get left behind.
Yeah, don't
kid. So that's why you have to keep knocking on those doors and bring what you do to them, because they're not going to find it. They don't even find pro anglers, you know, college anglers. Those guys still have to go take what they do to a rep to get a deal. So
yeah.
You gotta be ever engaging.
So, you know, and that was somewhat of the topic we had over at the Final Cast, where I was at before I came, started up the show here. And that was, it's so very true. You know, it's in today's landscape, it's a new world, and everybody's got their rule of thumb that they operate by. And it's always a two-way street, man. There's a big, yeah, big deal for that. You know, and speaking directly to the kayak side of things, the championship's coming up, but do you have, before we start talking about the first event here, do you have any experience on Dale Hollow?
Man. last night, Daniel and I took, you know, his best gal friend, because I'm his best gal friend, and Bethany, I'll just share it because everybody knows, she calls everybody. Yeah. Bethany is our judge. And I've known Bethany before I knew Daniel. And so we took her to dinner last night because she travels back and forth. And every year we go to Del Hollow in December in Tennessee Bass Nation. And that's a continuation of A.J. McWhirter, Jay Wallen's Bluegrass Kayak Angler Club. They nice. Had a Snowball Classic. And when my first year in kayaking, because I worked night shift, I got to fish one grassroots event, and then I fished, my shift changed, and I got enough in to qualify for the state championship in cast. That's our Tennessee Cast. Well, during that year, I saw Jay Wallen host a tournament, and so I had just met Jordan Marshall. He was 19 years old. Beginning of December, he said, hey, what are you doing this week? Well, I was on some vacation time because I had to burn it. So he and I drove. Hey, Marty. Marty's a freaking salt of the earth dude. I'm so blessed to meet him too. But so Marshall and I drove to Kentucky to fish AJ and them Snowball Classic, they call it. And it was awful weather. And so they do that on Del Hollow every year. So we fished a couple of those with their club. And then when the BOS blew up, AJ didn't have time to run it. So he stepped away. So Tennessee Bass Nation picked up behind him. And every year in December, we do a Tennessee Bass Nation event up there. So we've done three of those, and we've had four grassroots events up there. So, yeah, we love Del Hollow. Love Del Hollow.
That's awesome. That's awesome stuff. And Paddle and Fin's got a little deal coming up. We're going to take a 30-second break here, and let's take a look at this from Paddle and Fin. April 27th, 28th, Dale Hollow Paddle and Fin event going off there. I'm going to do everything I can to make it to that because I've never been to Dale Hollow. It's a bucket list lake location. And it's just for us, it's right around the time of our classic that the All-American Kayak Classic that goes off in the beginning of May there. So that would be a busy 2 weeks or so to try to roll that in. But I think it might be worth it. Well, speaking of here, there was some talk, and I got you on the show now, so I'm gonna throw this invite out to you. Of course, you're invited to everything, but we're finally, for the first time, quite a while. We've been here before in the past, but the All-American Kayak Series is coming to Kentucky Lake this year. We're gonna be there in June, and I don't know. We'll have to look at the schedule and see where it's at. But, brother, if you're around, we would absolutely love to have you come join us up there. We got Moore's Resort rolling out the red carpet for us. It's going to be a good setup there and getting us in. We're coming in during their peak season, so that's not usually the greatest. But for our schedule, it was about the best way we could roll it in. But it's going to hopefully set up. Kentucky Lake's really making a resurgence. You know, I mean, it had its woes, but I think it's starting to come back, and this could be a good event.
Yeah. Like what you said, like with Kentucky Lake, Lambert and I were talking about this recently. You know, the big ledge fish still aren't there and they may never be back, but what you're doing is just essentially you've wiped the slate clean. So anglers have had to re-find out how to catch these fish. Now, like in the Hobie event, they were catching a ton of 17-inch bass, which is great. So, because something I've never done, like we all want to hit the grand slam. We want to catch 105 inches of fish. But you know what? I put that to the side. You can't control that, just like the weather.
Right.
So pick places that have a geographical outreach of anglers or surrounding anglers. But with Kentucky Lake, you're going to catch fish now. That's the main thing. You might get angry that they're only 13 to 16 inches, but you're going to do it. And then when you figured it out, you'll start finding those 18 to 20 inches because they didn't go anywhere. They might have got skinny, but they didn't go anywhere.
Right.
So a kayaker will find it out. And you guys are going June 22nd, 23rd. And
yes, sir.
I will be coming back from Georgia Bass on Lake Russell. My wife's off, so she'll take a road trip. We can come. So Tennessee Bass Nation is actually going the first weekend of July. So,
nice.
So, and to that point, just showing how you can't do anything about it. There's a doggone like party barge boat expo going on the lake that day. So
yeah. But, do? And I think that was actually at the heart when we were talking about boundaries, when we were trying to establish boundaries, that's why we widened it up. And we're going to include Barkley in it. Just kind of give guys the ability to spread out, you know, through the thing so that they're not on top of the tourist crowd that's going to be starting to come in, so to speak. But
I take that back. We're there June the 1st. So, hey, come down and pre-fish Kentucky Lake if you're not going to the Hobie on Cayuga. And then you can come down 3 weeks later and smash them for All American and take home a check.
See, that's what I'm saying. I like the way you think, man. That's why you get the good parking spot.
It's because I'm full of it.
That's right. Yeah. You know, what was that? There's an old line that was in a movie called 48 Hours. And the line was, they say experiencing bullshit can take you a long time. Well, wait till they experience my bullshit.
Like I told you, you know, I grew up, you know, I've worked chemical plants my whole life. And an old timer used to tell me, he said, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with bullshit.
That's right. Whatever it takes. Yeah. So first event coming up here for Bassmaster Kayak Series. You guys are going to Lake Murray County, right? February 24th, 25th, Lake Murray, Columbia, South Carolina.
Yeah. We're hosted by Lake Murray Country there. And we're going to be at the Harbison Theater. That kind of threw me for a loop when they brought that theater up, but I think that's going to be cool because, you know, Drew's got the Adventure Kayak Series.
Yep.
Or the Kayak Adventure Series, and yep. and he's targeting old theaters and stuff like that, which I think is pretty dang cool. So,
right.
So when they mentioned that theater, I started looking at it and I was like, man, this is going to be all right. And so, yeah, we're going to be there. You know, KBF has had a few events there the last several years that have pulled over 100, and the limits were pretty dang good.
Yeah.
And so when I reached out to them, the scheduling landed where it landed, and I'm pretty excited about it. So,
you know, and we're always so jealous in the northern and western. We're west northern, you know, out here in Colorado, when we see these events starting to crank off already and, you know, February, January. Can't believe there's already been a Hobie Boss event already. Harris Chain going off. How about those hogs that those boys were snatching up down there? That was Florida showing out early.
Oh my gosh. Like I was like the Wednesday last week, AJ and I took a road trip day together for some stuff he needed to do with Hobie. And you know, we were talking about it, you know, AJ's like all of us TDs. We're like, oh man, you know, we're going to, hey, Josh Sharp, Tennessee guy. Hey, Josh, I saw you at the expo, but you were working hard three times I came by. Josh Sharp was trying to sell people some Hobies. So River Sports is blessed to have that guy. So, so AJ and I were talking. He was like, man, we got this cold front coming in and this and that and the other. And I was like, dude, you know, I learned like at Susky this year or in 23. We're sitting there, you know, and we're in Pennsylvania in October, and everybody's like, man, the cold front's coming in. It's going to rain. And I'm sitting here chomping at the bit because I couldn't say a word because I don't want to influence your decision making.
Yeah.
But by gosh, if it starts getting drizzly, rainy, and ugly and cold here, the smallmouth wake up, and I'm just like, this tournament's going to blow. And it did. It blew its doors off. They had awesome. An absolute ridiculous time. So yeah, but we were talking about that, you know, and he was just being the concerned dad, you know, that he is. He was like, man, I hope that cold front don't do this or this. And it did. It changed the fishing. But, man, if you pull it up and look, they still caught them on day two. You know, they didn't catch a freaking 113 inches. Nobody did. I mean, nobody's going to be able to do that.
Right.
You know, but they did a good job. And shout out to, you know, the guy that won. You know, for what I gather, he's kind of like a saltwater redfish guy. He's got a good social media following. He's got his little girl filming him pulling like a snook fishing a bridge. And she's so cute listening to her talk, you know.
Nice.
But so like Ewing Miner, shout out to the dugout guy, a little college angler, spanking everybody, taking money. He caught 100 inches on day two. And there's all kinds of 90-inch bags and stuff. So. Yeah. If you take away the shock factor of what them boys did on day one, you know, you've got 80, in my opinion, 85 inches is a bag. You know, people like 100. They love the century mark. No, 85 inches is a good bag. So, if you do the little Turney X weigh scale thing, you know, 85 inches is 18 pounds of fish probably, you know, 15, 18 pounds, depending on what time of year. So.
That's cashing checks at most events for sure, man.
What you said, it really is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, doesn't matter what vessel you're fishing out of for sure. Yeah. You know, and that's, you said something as a tournament director that I've had a chance now as I'm learning, this is my learning year on the TD side of things. as I learned from Mr. Booth, and I also learned from our Bass tournament director out here, is James Strawbridge, which is, is a fantastic TD out here. Runs a great club, bass club. One of the things you said, AJ being concerned with, you know, the conditions, it truly is. To turn, what people don't realize is tournament directors want to put you on water at the right time of the year. They want to make sure that you're going to have the best experience, because that's good for everybody. You know, it's, no one wants you to go out there and get a weather pattern coming in and struggle to put 62 inches up on the board. That's no fun for anybody out there, right? And so TDs truly do, you know, good tournament directors do care about, you know, what's going on. They want to give you the best possible opportunity you can, you know, being a father pretty much there, you know, the whole way through.
Yeah, so like, you know, not to name drop, but like Jordan Lee is a good pal, and you know, he's got This Lake Sucks and all that stuff, and that's funny and it's great, because we all say it. We do. We break rods, we throw stuff in the water, This Lake Sucks or whatever, but you know what? Nobody can control that.
Right.
You know, that lake doesn't suck. You just didn't catch them that day. You know, it's kind of like, and you may get pissed off at saying it, but like the people that make excuses why they won't travel for a tournament, dude, it's not Hobie going up $30. It costs $1,000 to travel and fish a tournament.
Yeah.
If it costs you $1,030, you're not going to turn around and go back home. you're just tired of traveling. That's just it. You're tired of spending that money. Cause if you think about it, you know, the entry fee is nothing. And the way I've always looked at the tournament.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations, and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
I don't care what it costs, because I can control that. I can eat beanie weenies and whatever. I cannot go to big gyms and spend $130 drinking, you know, rye whiskey and
beer. Do they still sell beanie weenies, Steve?
I live in Tennessee. If it's toxic or fattening, we've got it.
Outstanding.
And I say that kind of, you know, gruffly and off the cuff, but I am concerned with the amount of money it costs to do things nowadays. But
yeah,
you know, like the term return on investment, it is a real thing, but put that in perspective.
Yeah.
100% of the kayak fishermen are not doing this to pay their mortgage. So the return on investment, you're not paying much more in entry fees from what you did 5 years ago. So don't let that entry fee be an excuse, you know,
right?
Gas. Yes, I'll take that. You know, my kid now, he's not 4, he's 12. His clothes cost more. I'll take that too, you know.
Yep.
But don't try to blame an organization for entry fees or scheduling. You can't help, but I get that. But you know, it just does suck how much stuff costs. But
yeah. Like you said though, it's not, in the big scheme of things, trust me, coming from the boat world on, you know, what options you had regionally and nationally to fish there to pay to play. Our entry fees are fantastic still in the kayak world compared to, you know, when you look at payout percentages, it's everything else to get there. It's the lodging, it's the gas, the food, you know, if we can see that stuff come back down and get a little bit more reasonable, you know, I would not complain there at all, but that's the stuff that kills your budget.
Well, and to that point, that's where, like, what, and I'll make a post about it later in the week. I got something cool up here in my head. I think, you know, our community, you know, partner up with each other, you know, like Barry Davis and Brad Case and all of them, man. Destin Wade. Hey, Jess, and I'll see you at the GSM tournament on Gunnersville in a few weeks. So somehow I'm running a NOEX out a Cartersville, Georgia outdoor expo with Dugout Thursday, Friday, Saturday with Riser. I got a Georgia Bass Nation on Saturday in Sinclair, and then 5 hours away, I got to be on Gunnersville for a GSM tournament. So
jeez,
I got to figure out what to do there.
But, right.
But so when you travel, guys and gals, you know, well, you, if you're not married to the person you travel with, you don't want to do that.
That's a different podcast episode.
Watch out. Don't go home and say Steve-O said I could stay with this woman on the road.
It's what they're all doing.
If I'm your wingman, I'll get thrown under the bus and I'll accept it, but I can't do it as a TD. But they partner up like years and years ago. How I met Adam Reiser and Russ Snyders was, you know, we were on the road and I had $100 a night place to stay. And I saw one of them post, hey, need a place to stay. And then boom, you know, 7-8 years ago, we met like that. And we've been tied ever since. And that's how you do these things. Justin Patrick, West Tennessee guy. We stayed in what was a good hotel 7 years later now. I stayed there about 2 months ago and I had to leave because the place is so nasty. It closed my sinuses up. But I literally, it was the first year of the Hobie BOS and I've got a check right there from it. I'm going to humble brag every time I'm on the
phone. You've earned the right, man.
So I've cashed 4 checks on Seminole and I just won the Florida Tennessee Bass Nation a couple weeks ago. So,
nice.
But that first Hobie BOS, I went down there. And I spent 14 days in 4 trips. The first time I went to Seminole, it blew my mind. So I kept going back. And it's 6 hours from my house. So Justin posted, need a room pre-fishing for the Hobie. And I was like, dude, I'm going down there. So we shared a room together. Strangers, you know. Now, he hated me because I snored before I got my CPAP. But, but now Justin and I are tight. We have a great relationship because we met on the road. So all of y'all, you know, like you said, you're 51, I'm 48. You know, we like nice things. We like a good mattress, but you know what? Slum it if you have to together, you know, and that'll make a memory. That's what I'm all about. When I die, I want more memories here than I have dollars here.
Yep.
You know,
100%.
And so do that on the road. I feel like we all made so much money before and during COVID. And we had so much freedom and flexibility to do whatever we wanted to do that now those constraints have been put back on us. You can still do whatever you want. Case in point, you know, we have good jobs, but my wife is frugal, very frugal. Like, I mean, I have to shake it out of her to get name brand canned goods, you know.
Right. And to get them beanie weenies.
Yeah, don't get me no great value beanie weenies. Yeah. The good stuff. I'm bougie.
So, like
Robert says, you know, hey, campsites, this, that, and the other. So,
yeah,
don't let, I think I was talking to somebody about organizing something. I said, don't let someone else's resistance keep you from doing it. Get pissed off and do it anyway. You know, when it comes to that tournament, you know, if it's too expensive, cause it is, it can be, because I'm not a billionaire, so I have a budget too. And like when we go to Texas, Jamie and I will pony up with about 4 other people and hopefully we can get the lodging to fit our budget. And if we can't, I'll look at something else, you know. You know, you got Gene Jitson, dude. He'll throw a freaking hammock up in a tree, you know.
Yep.
Granted, it's a nice hammock.
One of the most expertly built. Yeah. So I think Matt Collins has got he's got it figured out. It's not the money. It's the damn wife.
Hey, you know, if you can get lucky and get you somebody like Wendy Biles or whatever that loves to fish and travel, you know, the Katie and Ryan Backa do it. And then we've got, man, I just drew a blank. There's a couple from West Virginia that travels together. And so there's an old town couple that travels together. You know, it's really nice to see that.
Yeah. Now, some guy was taking shots at us, or maybe he's older than us. I don't know. He hasn't allowed StreamYard to see his name yet, but he says, wow, you guys are old. You know, if we knew who you were, we'd be able to come back with something snappy. But
well, hey, here's how old that guy is. He's so old that he doesn't know you got to register your name and get permission
for right?
StreamYard to be able to know who you are. So there, buddy.
Take that, pal.
That's it, yeah.
There's John stopping by. How are you, brother? Yeah. Good to see. Yeah, man, it's, you know, it's, you said it best. It's, these are experiences. I'll tell you that right now. I've had the fortune to fish on several different trails. I've done a couple Bassmaster events. I was at Pickwick, Gunnersville. You guys run such an outstanding, and it's like the bar, right? When Josh and I were talking during, when the season concluded on the All-American side, I was sharing my experiences at those events, you know, with he and Troy, like, this is, you know, how Bassmaster, this is, you know, we want to do our own thing, but this kind of gives us an idea. So it's so cool to see, you know, the different organizations, you know, working out there, and it is networking with other anglers, man. It's the practice experiences, that things you're going to meet, people you're going to meet. The events, the, you know, going to the awards, even if you're not cashing a check, show up and network and hang out and talk to people. You know, it's definitely something you will remember. And going to these places, like, you know, that was my first time at Gunnersville. We had some wins come through there in the practice leading up to it. Josh Deal and I were actually, after, when the winds died down somewhat, they were still blowing, but at least the storm was gone. He and I were like, yeah, we're not going back out there with 20 and 30 mile an hour winds blowing. So we drove around checking out ramps, checking out areas of the lake, and actually helped get a guy, a kayaker that actually, he was out practicing. He got caught in that storm, you know? So you just never know. There's stories that you pull from this stuff is always worth the deal, for sure. It's worth the experience. So 2024 Bassmaster Kayak Series is going to be a hell of a season here. Is there any one event besides 10 Killer? We know that's there. Is there any one event that's sticking out to you above the rest, or is it just you're feeling pretty excited about the whole schedule right now?
All of them. And it might have been my buddy Eric that pointed out, I've already shared with him and my 25 schedule, and somehow, I don't know how I did it, but this year I just organically booked this schedule: Murray, Possum Kingdom, Gunnersville, Susquehanna, Caddo are deep to midwater power fishing lakes. I don't know how I did it. And 25, for all intents and purposes, it looks like it's sort of 10, 15 foot to offshore fishing.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how I did it. But the way I look at it is I look at a map. But to answer your question, I love Gunnersville. Next to Seminole, Gunnersville is my favorite place to fish in the entire world. That Possum Kingdom in April, you know, when you guys went in June, it was post-spawn, warmer, this, and that, and the other. This time, they're going to be gorging to spawn. They're going to be spawning. Some of them are going to be post-spawn. I mean, they're going to be so wide open, you know. To make Bob's day, they're going to be looking for a shot of leg, and they're going after it.
Absolutely. So
go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you, to wrap things up here, let's talk 10 Killer coming up here. So Colorado, we're pretty excited. We had a chance. I had a question for you, and I'll just, if we need to talk about this offline, then we'll talk about it offline. But I've heard from other people a different interpretation of this, and I wanted to get it from the guy himself. It's our understanding that each state, when they hold a championship, whoever enters that championship event, the number of anglers that qualify and enter that championship event, 10% of that field is what a club can send to 10 Killer or to send to the Classic. But then I've heard someone else say it was based on a different 10% number. What? How does that actually lay out here? Because I know that rule got altered or changed a couple of years ago or whatever. But what is the final number for a club?
Okay, so it actually literally will change for next year's championship. And what we're doing, again, is like everything. When you start it, you have to see what's up.
Yeah.
So what we built Fascination off of, the kayak side, was built off the Boat World. Well, the Boat World has your state championship, then a region championship, and then the national. So they get to scale down. So, you know, they may have 900 anglers, but then the next thing you know, there's three people making the championship. Well, we don't want to do that. But what we did notice was, for instance, and I'll just give you case in point, Tennessee. So let me back up. So the criteria for that is for the boat, for Bass Nation period, right now, as it stands, for 10 killer, it's 10% of your state championship. Okay. All right. Or during your season, So for an example, to make the point better, your kayak championship has 100 anglers. That's 10. They get to make it, right? All right. So if your state has 100 in that state championship, but your state had 170 dues members, you get 17, 10% of that. And those spots come from that state championship of 100 anglers.
So okay. All right.
10% of your roster paid dues members, or 10% of the state championship, whichever is greater. So after looking at that, because case in point, Tennessee, we qualify 100 anglers because we want a big payout for the state championship.
Right.
Nothing wrong with that. Tennessee, we have 193, 191, and 198 unique anglers every year.
Wow.
Yeah, so 1 year in Georgia, you know, we had 60-something people fish state championship, 140 unique anglers. Whew. So 14 people from a 60-angler tournament. Literally, it made me gag because you had people saying it kind of cheapens the Bassmaster Championship to an extent.
A little bit, yeah.
But the system wasn't wrong because the Bass Boat World, they take those 198 Tennessee anglers and shrink them down by having a state championship, a region, and then the nationals, right? Well, we can't do that. We've got too many events. We've got an oversaturation of clubs in every area. You know, and then there's nothing wrong with an angler starting their own club. If that's what you want to do, that's great. But at a certain point, you kind of got to do what like AJ and I are doing with the Bassmaster and the Hobie. Look at the greater good.
Yeah.
You know, do you want to start another club when your club is averaging 45 people and now you've got a club that's averaging 21 people and the other guy's averaging 24? Do you really want to do that? You know, it's almost right. Like people treat a tournament series like a chia pet, you know, it's like a damn terrarium or something, you know, let me make right. It and tweak it, you know, because I'll just be honest, how I learned how to do this and the organizational skills was from fantasy football. I mean, I've won tens of thousands of dollars playing fantasy football and I had my own leagues. And that's what showed me the organization skills to be able to run the tournaments, to be flat honest with you. So,
yeah. No, that's exciting. So there is a change that's going to be coming up for the next qualification, you say?
Yeah, and it actually is. If you'll go to the Bassmaster website and then click on kayak or click on tournaments, click on kayak, and then go to kayak on your resources, you'll be able to download the new rules. So this year, to qualify for 2025, now you have to have a state championship. You know, there were some clubs that were given grace to do their AOY points and qualify. That slipped through the cracks, and that's okay. We'll honor that this year. No longer can you do that. You have to have a standalone state championship. So you can either have a Colorado Trail Series with a state championship, or you can have one event, just an open state championship. So 10% of that field, that state championship, makes it to the championship, the Bassmaster Kayak Series Championship. That's it. No longer is the roster number, because you literally could have 130 anglers in Tennessee and have 40 in the state championship. Now I got to get 30.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And that's sickening. I wouldn't do that. I'm not. So, you know, it was just a hiccup. It was something that we found and we saw, and so, you know, we'll adjust to it. So we are working on potentially having our own standardization across the board and separating from the boat world in 25, if we can get it ironed out right.
Nice. Well, you know, and one of the things here in Colorado, we've been doing that 10% of our state championship field. We had our first year that we did this, we had 19, or no, it was our second year. We had 19 anglers, you know, that were in the state championship, so we could only send one. It was like, oh, we were one away from, you know, getting there too. This year we had literally from one season to the next, we went over 30, and so we were able to send three anglers from the deal. So it's
and that's what I tell everybody, man, the numbers are insignificant, man. Just do it. And just whatever you send, be happy with that. And it's okay.
Heck yeah.
I like
got
that,
couple questions coming in. This guy also, just as Facebook says, what do you consider defined as dangerous weather, need to postpone or cancel for the Bassmaster Kayak Series?
This is difficult for me because literally we've been fishing in lightning storms, and Lambert or Daniel have to call me and say, hey, man, we got to call this tournament. Because I lay my rods down to fish because I don't want to go home with it. But so anyway. To answer your question, lightning. And I would say, and again, these are just for instances. They're not like in concrete. When you start getting 25 plus winds, that one maybe. So always, thank God, Dwayne now has the notification function. So pay attention to your phones. You know, obviously you're not supposed to be talking on your phone, calling each other, messaging, texting, but check your notifications when they ping.
Through Tourney X.
Tourney X to get off the water. That's an amazing feature. And we just, I don't know why we didn't, because I'm very close to Wayne. I don't know why we didn't think about that years ago. I mean, notifications, but you know, lightning and 25 plus mile an hour winds, probably depending on the body of water. If you're fishing Chickamauga and that or Gunnersville and those kind of 20 mile an hour winds, we do that all the time. You're fishing Seminole and you got 25, 30 mile an hour winds, it's pretty dangerous. So
yeah,
that's about the only two. The third and would be flooding. So like on Pickwick in particular, we had a Tennessee Bass Nation when the Bassmaster Elites fished there one weekend. And we literally cut a section of the main river off limits. You could only launch in creeks on that last third of the lake. So we would do something like that.
Yep. You know, and to tag on to it, that's the official side of it. But the bottom line is in kayak fishing or in boating as well, if you're not comfortable piloting that stuff, regardless of what the tournament says, don't go out. If you're not comfortable running that, it's not worth it, man. It is a tournament. It'll still be there. You can, you know, give the weather some time to calm down. Your safety becomes more important than anything out there. You know, and that, especially in the kayak game, I've seen too many people put themselves in a goofy situation. This is an interesting question here coming from Matt. Talking about interest travel more for national trails. How many days on average do you think anglers are pre-fishing? Debating if it's worth 1 day of pre-fishing for caddo specifically this year. Would love to hear your thoughts.
There'll be a few different answers to this one. So number one, I think more people perceive pre-fishing as an advantage, you know, and they do that by saying time on the water trumps everything. And that is true. But you talk to someone like Gerald Swindle, who was just on the Dave Mercer podcast. He said pre-fishing destroys him. When he pre-fishes, he sucks in a tournament. So it's relative, really. But as far as the national, and so the reason I'll answer these questions like this is to say, no matter what the number is, it shouldn't be a deterrent for a person to come and fish. I would say, let's just say, for instance, Hartwell, we had 170 anglers. I know of probably five-ish people that had more than 3 days to pre-fish. 80% of that field had Thursday, Friday, and, you know, 10, 15, 20% just had Friday. For me, and not, you know, I've cashed some checks, you know, when I got to fish. For me, and it's the reason that I do the weekend before the tournament and the week of the tournament in the opens is because I worked, you know, I'll just share it with this. Thank God my boss was a fisherman. The year I qualified for the Hobie TOC, I missed 60-something days of work because he let me take off.
Nice, so, nice.
Now, I didn't get paid for him, but right, he let me take off. You know, he would let me work 4/10s and take 2 days off and work, you know, Monday through Thursday and then Tuesday through Friday, you know. So, anyway, I missed 60-something days of work. But most of the time, I only had the weekend before. And then Monday through Thursday, I had to work. Thursday at 3 p.m., I'm hauling balls to Caddo or wherever. So I only got Friday. What I would do is I would pick two or three ramps and I would put in, I would put an O-ring on a Cinco and tie my line to it with no hook, skip it, get bit. It could have been a bluegill for all I know, but I felt confident I got a tug, you know. And so Friday was looking at two or three ramps to just get my, the cover structure down on my sonar and everything, my familiarity with the water clarity and the water temperature. So in my opinion, you know, like I just told you, 10% get 4 days plus, 80% 2 days, probably 10-15% get 1 day. You know, and a lake like Caddo in particular, 2 days would probably be the best thing. But if you do enough map and YouTube study, that 1 day should do you okay. You know,
right? That's what maintenance guys are always fishing.
That's right. That's it, buddy. And, hey, and to get this, Robert, I was actually what they call the lube tech. So. I when we installed new equipment, I had to fill it with oil, grease it, set the tolerances and the clearances, the whole nine yards. And I had a route that I did daily. Well, probably about Tuesday evening, Wednesday morning, I was done with my route for the whole week.
Nice.
So that's how we now have all the Bassmaster and Kayak Series stuff we have. Thanks to these Unison. So.
That's good stuff. You know, on the pre-fishing, you know, topic, I personally, it has everything to do with how well I know the body of water. You know, I think in the kayak game, especially, we're not as mobile as we would be in a boat. So finding an area that has maybe different setups, you know, of the lake where it's got some rock, it's got some grass, got some channel swing, it's got, you know, this and that, something you can really vary up and really track them down and find them, you know, if needs be. And it also falls in your strength, you know, type deal. So however long it takes you to do that, that's what I would do. You know, just.
Well, yeah. Invest the time in your electronics. Like live scope's the hot topic and I love it. It's fun, but it will piss you off when you sit and see fish swimming at your lure that you're trying to give to them and they won't bite it. It's awful. But forward facing sonars is the same as side imaging. It's a tool. It's an advantage.
Yeah.
So like, you know, if you can't get 2 days or 3 days, it doesn't matter. So long as you go into it with the right mindset. I can't really fish for these fish. I'm going to throw a wacky rig, chatterbait, or a swim jig to try to get a reaction bite. And the chatterbait swim jig is going to get the aggressive bite. The wacky rig is going to get the subtle bite. So as long as you spend 2 hours at three ramps, now that's 2 hours fishing, get back to your ramp, load up, you should be good. You know, another guy asked, yes, a blue sky is legal. Nice. And that's another thing. Because I've seen so many new flotation devices, you better check with us, because there's some that are, we're going to, yeah, I don't know what we do. And, and to Bob, what would a guy expect for fishing Gunnersville in mid-May? Everything. You can catch them 25 foot driving a Carolina rig or a crankbait. You're going to be able to catch a chatterbait, swim jig, you know, 2.8 Kitech, you know, top water. You could probably do a buzzbait, but that'd be about it for top water. But Gunnersville is a special place. And
yeah,
it took a dip when KBF first become popular. We had two events down there that were stellar. But right before that, it had taken a downturn. And then it fished really good for 3 or 4 years. And then for about a year, it was, and then the eelgrass came in. And eelgrass sucks for a lot of people. But I learned to fish Gunnersville as it was coming in, so I know how to fish it.
Nice.
That's why I only fish grassroots there. But Gunnersville is a spectacular place. And right now, I wish we could have a tournament there this week. You know, they're catching 35, 40 boat tournaments. They're having 3 or 4 30-pound bags.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, listen, man, we can't thank you enough for taking the time out of your schedule and coming by our little podcast here, man, to sit down with us, to talk about the season. You know, at the heart of this podcast is the True Patriot Outfitters. Our objective is to get our nation's warfighters in kayak fishing, get them outdoors, you know, get the healing going. But we're also, you know, we work obviously as the official podcast for the All-American. And having a guy like you stop by, man, an icon in our industry, and share, you know, your passion for the sport, your passion for people out there. It's not a surprise to me why things are going so well over there at Bassmaster with you at the helm, brother. And that's some cool stuff. We sincerely appreciate your time, and you swinging by and chatting with us.
Man, I really appreciate it. And I mean, man, it's just, I don't know, man. We're really fortunate to what we do.
Yes, sir.
You know, and before, as we close out, you know, I would suggest, you know, I know you know, with a veteran's heart, you look out for those people, but, you know, there's an organization, and you may follow it or whatever, but it's Veterans Kayak Fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to close this out, cause I love to talk, but the single best experience I've had in kayak fishing so far was at Susquehanna. So there was just something, you could just feel it. I was talking with our Bassmaster camera guy, Mark Cisneros, Big Worm. You could just feel it all week. Yep. You know, there was some controversy, people pre-fishing with, you know, a person that was a hammer up there that wasn't in the event. And it just kind of sucked that dampened a little bit, but it really didn't. So that the day one, we got out and I took Mark to the ramp because he was with me, and I gave him my kayak to photograph all you guys. But a good friend of mine in Georgia that I've become closer with is Clay Ragsdale, and he runs the Veterans Kayak Fishing. And what he does is he gets veterans on the water. And I'm not talking about to do the foolishness we do of tournament fishing. You know, Clay gets the real deal people on the water, the people that need it. Back that little big bass in that picture I got from the 10th Yak Attack Heroes on the Water event. We had a gentleman with prosthetics standing up there talking about how, you know, he was fixing to end it, and his phone rang twice. I know you've probably heard countless stories of the same way, because we all struggle with mental health stuff, but he answered the phone, and his buddy got him out of the house to come to a kayak event. in Virginia, I believe it was, which is, you know, where Yak Attack's was headquarters. And so as he's telling this story, I'm just in awe, you know, and I'm an emotional person. That kept him from committing suicide. The answering that phone.
Yep.
And for 6+ months, he would show up at these kayak tournaments with no legs. And when you got off, this is back when we still judged on the phones and even the cameras.
Yep. Yep.
He would take your kayak and he would put the lanyard in his teeth while you went up and submitted your fish, and he would pull your kayak up and dock it and go to the next one with no legs. And that just floored me. And it made me realize that fishing changes lives.
Yes, sir.
But it doesn't change lives unless you're active with it. And that's what Clay does. I mean, he takes, you know, people that are never going to tournament fish, people that he may be the only person that they see for a couple of months because of PSD. And those are the kinds of people that make it. And so we had dinner the night before, and this was unsuspecting. So I show up with Mark at that ramp, and there's Clay, you know, and we just clicked. I mean, you know.
And you say the name of that organization is Veterans Kayak Fishing?
Veterans Kayak Fishing. His name's Clay Rax. You know, he's one of I've actually asked him this year to step in Georgia Bass Nation to help me because, you know, I'm getting spread more thin, and you know, he's a phenomenal dude. He's got some great stories, and he's charismatic, and he's funny, and he's quick-witted. You know, so yeah,
we will absolutely reach out to them at the very least, you know, get them on the show here. We'll talk about them. You know, I run into that a lot with the True Patriot Outfitters. We are kayak fishing and outdoors and camping. And people often tell me that, hey, I know another organization that does that. And usually what I let them know is, you know what? There are hundreds of organizations out here doing this. And the real fact of the matter is we need even more. You know, it's every last one of these organizations that are dedicated to helping getting our nation's warfighters into the outdoors and around these communities, you know, absolutely support them, get behind them, help them do this, because there's no greater healing mechanism than camaraderie and the outdoors, man. And fishing is a great avenue, and the kayak fishing community is extremely welcoming. So it's awesome. So yeah, I will reach out to Clay and Veterans Kayak Fishing, and we'll see what we can do there. Maybe, like I said, at the very least, get him on the show here and chat with him and get him a little PR there for sure. That's an awesome story about that guy on the dock, man. That's pretty powerful.
Boy, yeah, it's but yeah, if you can't track him down, just shoot me a text and I'll get you connected that way. So.
He commented in the comments here when we were in here, so I'll look back through that when I get over to Facebook there, and we'll take a peek at it for sure.
I see. So, 8 feet. Boy, we've been on here a while.
We have.
I love to talk. I'm sorry.
That's all right, man. We'll take it. We'll take it. Well, and again, Steve,
and hopefully we get to see you in April with the Paddling Fin, and then Tennessee Bass Nations fishing the same weekend. You can double dip, so maybe we'll see you all up there. We're hosted out of Birdstown.
Okay.
Very close to Eastport Marina.
So. Okay. Perfect. Yeah, I will be sure to look you up there. I'll talk to the boss, my bean counter on this end, and we'll see what she thinks as far as schedule. I want to get to the Classic, actually, and just literally show up there so I could attend the expo and get a chance to do some networking and see some folks.
Have you been to one before?
I've been to a Red Crest. I've never been to a Classic, and so I'm looking forward. This would be kind of a childhood dream, being able to get a chance to go there and see some folks. So for sure.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun, and I challenge the anglers to come too, because it's a networking dream. That's where things happen.
For sure, that's what we're hoping. Well, and again, thank you, sir. We greatly appreciate it. Folks at home, make sure to follow the Bassmaster Kayak Series online. You can check them out at Bassmaster.com, of course. Bassmaster Kayak Series at Facebook. For us here, your best support you can do for us on YouTube, smash that subscribe button, man. That's what we need. We need help on the YouTube channel to keep growing it nice and organic like that. That's how we get our mission out there to more people and get more of our nation's warfighters in kayaks, get them involved in this sport, and let that let Mother Nature do her job. As always, folks, we can't do it without you. We love the support. Tight lines. Be safe.
You want to succeed, you want to fish, you want to be one of the greatest.
Tune in to West Marine's Life on the Water, presented by Costa Custom Boats, every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
Every once in a while, it's fun to go like just full-blown redneck on these fish. This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.